I tell you, I'm so proud of this church, I can't hardly stand it. We've got about 30 people at Crecillo, and it's the first historic Crecillo, the first Spanish Crecillo. We've got probably 14 or 15 of our members there, and Pastor Rick and Robin and many others helping on team, and it's just an amazing thing. So some of them may be listening to this by way of internet. And those of you here, grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you very much, church. Today I want to talk about crazy love. So if you look at your outline, that's what we're going to be using today. Crazy love, Isaiah 62. We've been looking at Isaiah. We're just about ready to wrap up Isaiah. By the way, next week we're having our second dueling pastor's sermon. Yes, so that's next Sunday. That ought to be fun. And I can't wait for that. But today it's Isaiah 62. And Isaiah's had some harsh words. Usually Pastor Rick got those assignments. I did not choose those that way. He chose them, in my defense. But the word is a sharp, two-edged sword. Isaiah's trying to get the nation that's in decline, like our country, to wake up and to shake up. And that God is calling them to turn around. So he had a harsh word for them, right? It's like a doctor saying, I hate to tell you this, you don't want to hear this, but you've got cancer. They have to know that in order to get the treatment. You can't just say, you know, I just want to be your buddy. I don't want to have this bad news for you. Isaiah had to say, I've got this message. Wake up, listen to it. And then he'd say, however, you come back to me, I will always be there for you. And these are some tremendous words. So let's dive in, okay? Isaiah 62. First of all, it's talking about crazy love. God is madly in love with us. We just had Valentine's Day. Whether you have a Valentine or not, because Daryl talked about that one time, praying that we would all experience God's love, whether we're single or married. Whether we have a Valentine on this earth, we have one in heaven who's in our heart, who will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus, the lover of our soul. And he's madly in love with us. He's madly in love with you. And that's what this is talking about, this passion. Hollywood does not know anything about passion. True passion is this intensity, this burning love, pure love, filled with intensity and excitement. It's a God thing. True passion comes from God. It's like a magnet that attracts us to its source, that is God. He is the source of all true and lasting love. Amen? He is the source of all true and lasting love. There is no true love outside of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have now everlasting life, eternal life. That is the love He has for us. This is love, not that God we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice. God is love, the Bible says. Underneath are the everlasting arms. I have loved you with an everlasting love. It's all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, from beginning to end. Yes, there is the word of judgment, but there's a word of God's love. Burning with intensity, burning with desire for us. A jealous God that doesn't want to share us with anybody else. He says, I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting iniquities upon the forefathers, the third and fourth generation, then they hate me, and showing love to the third and fourth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. So he's a jealous God in the right sense. He says, I will not share my love with anybody else with you. I want to be your God. I don't want alcohol or drugs to take you away, snuff you out like Whitney Houston, who started singing for Jesus in a church. How sad to rush for the world, to rush for the acclaim and the fame, and lose your life in the process. How sad with what you... A voice clearer than a bell. Powerful voice. I'll never forget the national anthem, 1991, the Super Bowl. Oh, man. But God says, I want to be your source of song. I want to be the song of your life. I want to be the love of your life forever. Put me first, and you'll never regret it. Right? You'll never regret it. So, that's crazy love. First of all, crazy love is a personal experience. How sad it would be, as I was trained in Missouri Synod, at the seminary, to analyze the three parts of love and read a sermon today about how crazy love is a personal experience that one has to understand intellectually before one, and theologically before one can apply to one's existence. Crazy love is something from the heart burns with passion. It's a personal experience. It washes over you and gives you peace. When we experience God's love, there's nothing like it, right? We've got people right now in Crucio experience amor de Cristo, the love of Christ, like never before. Experience the Holy Spirit washing over them, and about right now they're going, wow, what a weekend. And we pray, I can't wait for next Sunday at our Spanish service to see these 15 people. Can you imagine? We've never had 15 people of our church go to Crucio at the same time. So imagine 15 people coming to that Spanish service next Sunday. Look out. Bonfire. Fuego. Fire. But this is a personal experience. And when the love of Christ washes over us, this peace is amazing, that no matter what we go through, no matter the terrible situations in life, to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Neither height nor depth nor anything in all creation, Paul writes, can separate us from the love of God, Christ. Nothing. Nothing. No angel, no demon. Things present, things to come. No danger, no sword. Paul went on and on, all these different things. Nothing. No one, no thing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen? That gives us peace. Another part of crazy love being a personal experience that talks about here is that you experience a smile of God. Siri read so well. It talks about the fact that it says, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like a dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. And the nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And Liz is going to talk about that later, how that's a great word. That shows how God loves us. That when He sees us, it's as old Max Lucado writes about, it's like He has your picture on His refrigerator. He's got a photo magnet of you on His refrigerator, and when He passes by you, He smiles. Oh, that's my kid. That's my boy. That's my daughter. I love her. We don't get that. If we really understood how much He loves us, it could get us through. It would get us through everything, and it just changes everything to experience the love of God. To know that when God looks at you and thinks He isn't going, oh, gee, they screwed up again, a big screw-up. Because of Jesus Christ, He took the wrath, right? He took the wrath. You don't take the wrath that you deserve, that I deserve. He took it for you. So now as God looks at us through the cross, He sees us with Jesus' imprint over us. And so we have a scholar face, and we're saying bad words, and we're hateful and mean and selfish. Father, God sees the face of Jesus superimposed over our face. A face of love all the time, of holiness all the time. And it's superimposed until eventually our face and His face become one. We become more like Jesus. And then you can't tell the difference. It's like Father, like Son. Some of you saw my son, you think he looks like me. I don't know, we don't see it, but you guys do. My daughter, I think, looks even more like me. There's a resemblance in the family, right? And sometimes even adopted kids start resembling their adopted parents, which is really fascinating. How that happens, I don't know. Anyway, we become more like Jesus, and a smile of God is on us. This fire, we just sang about it, is an all-consuming fire of intense love, and God wants to give you even more. It's like a blazing torch, it says here. That's the kind of love that God has. There's a writer who wrote about the intense love that the Trinity has within the Triune. And the Shack talks about that, the love between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's so white-hot in intensity and purity. The love of the Father to the Son to the Father, the Holy Spirit to the Father, the Holy Spirit to the Son to the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit brings a song and life and light to things, and that gentle, sensitive Holy Spirit comes in, and the Father goes, go, Holy Spirit, go over there, go over here. And the Father looks at Jesus and says, that's my boy. That's my boy. That's my son. He gave up everything, people, world, angels, for this world. He gave up everything. He went through this agony of torture and rejection. That's my boy. Listen to him. Listen to him. The intense love between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we can't get in the middle of that. We have our love with God, but it's nothing. That white, hot, intense love between the Trinity, it would consume us, it would kill us. We can't see God face to face, and we can't get in the middle of the triune love. within the God. Does that make sense? That intense, white-hot love is beyond our comprehension. But get this. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so also I love, He loves you. So the Father does love us, in a sense, with the same love He has for His boy. Because we're His boy, we're His daughter, adopted through baptism through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, who brings us to be the adoption of sons that Paul talks about. That's crazy love, that God would give up His Son and go through all that and take the risk that we would reject Him and make fun of Him and live our own way. And yet take that risk that I'm going to love Him anyway. I don't care if the majority of Arizona rejects me. There's going to be some people in Glendale, Arizona, 7310 was Camelback. There's going to be some people in First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mesa right now, First Spanish Crucio. They're going to love me, and they're going to worship me, and they're going to adore me in whatever language, whatever culture, whatever color of skin. He says, I love all my kids from all over the world, right? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight, and ours too. So that's the love. It's so personal. It's so consuming. And God wants us to keep pouring out His love. But sometimes you can't take it in, right? One of our members, I'm going to tell on him, Hector. They asked me to help with the healing service last night. I've been going back and forth between Mesa and Glendale all weekend. And it's interesting, our members, folks, in the healing service, almost all of them, I ask, how can we pray for you? I just want to give thanks to God. I go, come on. There's something to pray for you. No. I'm just so grateful. I'm so thankful. Just bless my family, and I want to thank Him. And Hector, he couldn't talk. I said, Hector, what's going on? He said, I can't talk right now. I'm just soaking it in. God wants to show and pour out His love more and more and more. And part of this, number one, is part of the revival and awakening that's going on. It's a revival of God's love. And there's story after story. There's one, I didn't write it down. I just thought of it. I'm going to use it another time. But there's this, I think it was a Hindu who was angry at God. He was trying to follow all the religious system. It didn't work. And he was raised Muslim. That didn't work. And finally he just cried out. He says, God, is there anybody up there who loves me? And he heard in his heart, my name is Jesus. And I love you. And he went to a church and found out about it. And just on the radio, Kunkalov, it was the last night, they talked about someone who was at a point of desperation, and they cried out to the heavens, says, Jesus, do you even care? And she felt this inner peace, and she felt this word that was so strong say, I care. I called you by name. And I know what you're going through, and it bothers me too, and had this love that was just blew her away. So it's a very personal experience, crazy love. It's hard to describe when you're madly in love with a boy or girlfriend, or when you're first love, when you're a romantic member, you couldn't think of anything else. Oh, he's the love, he's my dream boat, you know, or she's just perfect. And everybody goes, ah. But you have this intense love, you know, and it's sickening, but it's good, it's sweet, and it changes the chemistry in our brain, that crazy love. And what God says, with our love to Him, He says, you've lost your first love. You've lost that infatuation when you were on fire for Jesus at Crucio or whatever. You've lost that. Now you keep me at arm's length and we hardly talk anymore. We're across the dining room table and you don't have devotions. You just read the newspaper and I sit there waiting for you to talk to me. And I keep waiting every morning, every night, sitting across from you, waiting for you to acknowledge me, to love me, to say something to me, anything. And that's the kind of love of God He has. It's very personal. But number two, crazy love is a lifestyle. It just has to come out. Verses 6 and 7. I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest. That's something people serve in Crucio. But anyway. And give Him no rest till He establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. God says, I'm going to bring watchmen. Now, the picture of watchmen was they would be on the walls of the city, and they would have the ones that have good eyesight, unlike me, and they would be standing on the wall, and they'd be looking out, the lookout post. And they'd be watching for any signs of enemies, or good news, for that matter, too, of the troops coming home with victory. And they would stand out there night and day, night and day, night and day, and then call out warnings to the rest of the city as they were perched on top of the wall while the rest of the people could go about their business while the watchmen were watching. Now suppose the watchmen, like security guards, fall asleep. These people that are working and doing their day-to-day activities are trusting that watchman's going to watch for them, right? Well, the watchman's entrusted on this, and he's watching out. And now the picture is he's been looking at this. The nation of Israel has gone into captivity. It's gone on decline. And now the watchman sees people coming from all over. Reminds me of Field of Dreams. And you see the line of cars at night coming to this little ball field. If you build it, they will come. And sure enough, it happens. And they start coming from all over to little Dyersville, Iowa. Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. What? They come all over. That's what the watchman's so excited on top of the wall. He's going, oh, look at this. He says, they can't keep silent. People are streaming in from all over to the kingdom, to our nation, to God, to mostly to God. He says, I can't keep it in. This love is so amazing. But we realize not everyone will join the party. As excited as that watchman will try to get people all excited, there's going to be some people are going, big deal. So what? Because their hearts have become cold and calloused, and they're looking for love in all the wrong places. So this is a lifestyle. It just has to come out, right? If you can't hold God's love in. I used to try, read my three-part sermon, and you don't raise your hands, and you don't smile in church, and you don't tell jokes, and you don't go crazy on the congas. That's not what God said. We've changed what the early church had. David danced. And his wife got ticked off because, oh, that's real dignified. The king, look at him dancing in his underwear. How, that's real cool. Where's that in our church rules? But love is not part of rules and regulations. It's a matter not of the head, but of the heart, right? So we have to look at, this is interesting. Yesterday I came over, rushing around before I went back to Presidio, and there was something under the chair. And now it's on the altar, but it was under the chair. It was a little red heart, and I thought, oh my goodness, someone has lost their heart. And I go, wow, that's what happens. People have lost their heart. And maybe they left it under the church, and they left the church, and they walked, and they went away from God. But God still knows where their heart is. Maybe they forgot where their heart is. And so somebody saw this heart yesterday, and they brought it back to God's presence in the altar to join two other lost hearts. And that's the whole thing about crazy love. It's a lifestyle of God searching out us and then us searching others with Jesus. Make a friend, be your friend, bring that friend to Christ. Number three, crazy love is a propellant. You know what a propellant is, right? Last night coming from Curcio, I said, should I stay in the hotel with Mesa or should I go? I'm just going to come back home and hope that my neighbors don't have a crazy party like they do on Saturday nights and I get some sleep. So I'm driving. All of a sudden, three cars come. They must have been going 100 miles an hour. I'm not exaggerating. From the lane. I'm in this lane, and there's an exit lane. They take the exit lane as a passing lane, and they had like those nitro engines because you could smell that it wasn't regular gasoline. It was like racing fuel. And they come zooming out of nowhere, just flying by me. And you could smell that propellant they had. This car could move. And they had this nitro turbocharger. Well, God's love is our propellant, is our nitro turbocharger that changes us from mild-mannered Clark Kent to Superman. I don't like these ball players nowadays, the basketball players and football, that do this because like they did a great play and they think they're all that. So they think, oh, and the idea when they do this, they're saying, I'm not Clark Kent, look at me, I'm Superman. Oh, please. But there is a sense that we as Christians change completely from a mild manner of feeling I can't do anything for God to realizing I'm not the Superman, but He is, and that we can, what is it, Superman's description? Leap tall buildings, a single bound. What was it about the locomotive? Yeah, whatever. And it's not our power, but it's Jesus' power. And we have kryptonite, sin, that can stop that power. But it's all Him. It's all Jesus. And it's His love that propels us. Now, verse 10 says something interesting, and Sari read that, about gateways and highways, as far as crazy love being a propellant. Pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up. build up the highway, remove the stones, raise a banner for the nations. God's love is so powerful, he's saying, go through those gates, go through those walls, raise up those rocks, make a highway in the middle of the desert. Blast away that mountain. Blow it up. See those gates that are holding you back from entering the city? Knock them down. Smack, crash the party, crash the gates. So you got this picture of crashing gates and knocking stones around because God is clearing the way. His love is clearing the way for people to come to him. He says, I don't want anything to interfere from me, from people come to know me. We set up obstacles for people to know God. God says, I want to get rid of those obstacles, right? And no, whatever way it is, and it's, well, it's a powerful love that moves the way, removes it. And so Isaiah said, get rid of every obstacle because the Messiah is coming. This was written 700 years before Jesus. And we still say that he's coming again, right? We better be ready for him. And that leads us to number four. Crazy love is a result of God's extravagant love. And what a picture here of a beautiful bride. Let's jump back to verses 3 and 4. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or your name desolate. You'll be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you and your land will be married. The idea here is one who's married is no longer abandoned or rejected. And the Bible always portrays, or many times, portrays the church as what? The bride of Christ. And Jesus is the groom, right? And he's coming, getting ready for his bride. And one pastor I know, used to be at Community Church of Joy, had this vivid dream about the church. And it started with a very, very elderly lady on a stretcher, just about dead, being wheeled in the middle of this beautiful church down the aisle to the altar in the middle of a service. This dying woman, just about on her last breath, literally. And then the pastor saw in the dream that as this woman came closer to the altar, to the presence of God, guess what happened? She started getting younger. The closer she came to the altar, the younger and more beautiful she got. You talk about a makeover, and all of a sudden, here's this beautiful bride. By the time she came from the back of the church to the front of the church, when she came to the altar, she was totally, totally, totally healthy in the picture of health. That's what God is doing in the church right now. He's changing because he wants a bride without spot or wrinkle or blemish to be ready for when the groom comes for his bride and we meet at the altar of Judgment Day. Get it? We come together when Jesus comes on the last day. He comes for his people and we come and we become one and the wedding party starts then. That's what happens. And that's what the picture is here. And then, so we talk about, here comes the bride. No, here comes the groom. Here come the groom. Not here come the judge or here come the bride. Here comes the bride. Here comes the groom. And we need to have the oil in our lamps ready for the festival, for the procession when Jesus comes. Because people are falling asleep. They're losing faith. Some of my grouping partners that were on fire for Jesus taught me about the Holy Spirit. One guy says, I can't even pray anymore. I don't read my Bible anymore. I don't go to church anymore. He sits home, and the fire is going out. But Jesus says, God says, you're my bride, and I'm the one that gives you the love. And that crazy love is a result of not our love, but God's love. Notice that last verse. God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which he has given us. And sometimes it takes a personal word to get through to us how much he loves us. And Liz is going to share her experience with that now.
I remembered that there was a verse in Isaiah 62 that had really special meaning to me. And so after I finished my devotions, I emailed Pastors Perry and Rick and let them know about my experience. And Pastor Perry said that he would be preaching on Isaiah 62 today and asked if I would share my story with you. I was really blessed to have been born into a very devout Christian family and was raised as in a Pentecostal environment. I'm a preacher's kid. And when I was born, my mother, the Lord spoke to my mother and told her to name me Elaine. And she did. My name is Elizabeth Elaine. And I'm just one of eight children in our family. And my mother reminded me throughout my whole life that I'm the only one of the eight children that the Lord spoke to about naming. And I always wondered why that was the case. And then, you know, flash forward to when I'm 33 years old and I am finding myself living in Tucson. I'm separated from my husband. I had to take a leave of absence from IBM to move back to Tucson, so I had a support base during my divorce. And I had a 5-year-old son. I was at my very, very lowest. I just, you know, emotionally, financially, physically, it was just probably the darkest time in my whole life. And so one night I was praying and reading my Bible, and the Elaine thing came back to me. And I remembered that my sister Becky, who also lived in Tucson, has a book that's called What's in a Name. And so I called Becky and I asked her to look up Elaine. And she did, and the book tells you what the literal meaning of your name is, the character quality, and then the lifelong Bible verse for you, for your name. And so she read to me that Elaine, the literal meaning is the lily maid of Astolat. And I believe that Elaine was a queen, the queen of Astolat, which is, used to be a little province like in England someplace. My character quality is bright one, and I'm really glad that you're not here, Rick, because I know you would have made a snide comment about that. And the verse was Isaiah 62:3, which is, "You shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the palm of your God." And I didn't know what diadem meant, and so I looked it up in my dictionary, and it's defined as ornament. And when I read that, chills just ran up and down my body, because several weeks earlier, my son Zach and I had driven down to Bisbee. My mom was pastoring a church there at the time. And we had driven down to Bisbee for Sunday service, and we hardly ever did that because Bisbee's a 2-hour drive from Tucson. But she had a visiting minister there, and the minister's wife had an outstanding gift of visions. And after the minister preached, he asked anyone who wanted prayer to come down to the front, and I went down to the front. And when I got to the altar, his wife held my hand, and she said that as I was walking down the aisle, she saw me in a really long, flowing white robe with multicolored ribbons hanging all over it. And she was thinking as I was walking down the aisle, "Lord, what does this mean? What is this?" And she said the only thing that came to her mind was ornament. And she went, so I, you know, at that time, neither she nor I knew what that meant. But that night after Becky told me what Elaine meant, and I thought back, you know, I flashed back to 33 years earlier when I was born. The Lord loved me so much that he spoke to my mom to name me Elaine. And then when I was at my lowest point, 33 years later, I found out about all of this. And I can't tell you how that just uplifted me so much, because I knew that very literally the Lord knew me by name before I was even in my mother's womb. And he loved me so much that he orchestrated the name Elaine, plus my son and I going to Bisbee that very weekend for service, so that I would know that I am very special to him, and that I would know that he has a purpose in my life. And if he has a purpose in my life, then by God, my life has a purpose. And I just really thank the Lord for being there. I just knew that he was there with me then. He has always been there with me, and he would never forsake me. And I knew that all the trials that I was going through at that time would just be okay. And I just really praise the Lord for that. Thank you.
Similar to that, there's a book by Beth Moore entitled Breaking Free. And she uses the same illustration as this whole thing. And women probably get it better than men. But she says, women, understand when God sees you, he sees you as a beautiful princess. He looks at you this way. And with self-esteem the way it is for many people, it's hard for many people I work with touching, hard for them to believe they're beautiful in anyone's sight, let alone God's. And one of the breakthroughs is understanding how God sees us in Christ. And for men, it's a strong hero, a rock. What? Peter was called Rocky, little chip off the big block, God. He goes, me? I'm no rock. But Jesus saw the potential in Peter before Peter saw it. And the same with all of us. So he sees us as this handsome groom, dazzlingly bright, and waiting for him at the altar. For you women, he sees you as a beautiful bride. Or the ornaments. With a diadem. A diadem is a crown of multicolored gems, diamonds sparkling all over. And it's Jesus' love and the Holy Spirit that makes us sparkle and shine. Shine, Jesus, shine. And that's crazy love.